Turn in your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 7, talking about looking for love. Of course, there's a famous song, right? Of course, looking for love in all the wrong places. But let me read the passage. It's just so beautiful, so wonderful. I can talk all day about the love of the Lord because in my life, and I probably do talk about it all the time, in my life, the Lord made himself real. I was trying to think, when is the first time when I would have thought of the love of God? I would have been a teenager, and I don't know if I'd ever heard of that before then. Not in our house, we didn't mention anything about the love of the Lord, so I don't know where I would have heard, but I think it was when Sammy Sherrard, the fellow who led me to Christ, that he told me about God's love and that I could experience it if I opened my heart to Jesus. And I did. And first time, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes. And he said, would you like to accept him as your Savior? Yes, yes. And I went home that night just exploding with God's love. And I knew that he loved me. I didn't have to check with my sister. She had just given her heart to the Lord. I didn't have to check with Sammy. I just knew something had happened. I thought, the great power of the Lord, the love of God, it's overwhelmingly wonderful. There's nothing like it. It's so beautiful and so life-changing. Deuteronomy chapter 7, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all people. But it's because, here it is, pure vitamin C. Because the Lord loves you and is keeping an oath which he swore to his fathers. The Lord loves you. He just chose to lavish his love upon us. No merit of our own. Nothing about, I wasn't impressive. You were not impressive. You might have thought you were impressive, but you weren't impressive. We were just ordinary lost people wandering, crashing through life. And the Lord comes to us and confronts us. And we are transformed by it. It's so beautiful. It's because he loves us. And you must walk, when you walk out of here today, you must walk out with that conviction. It's not because of my size, my eloquence, or anything else. It's not because I go to church. It's because Jesus loves me, this I know. And you must be convinced of that. This is bedrock stuff that it will take you right through life of the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus in our heart. Oh, love that will not let us go. But he confronts us and draws us close. I think Larry Crabb first heard him say this, the psychiatrist. But he said this about love, the kind of love that we need. The kind of love we need is that we are loved with a love that is freely given, a love that cannot be earned and therefore can never be lost. Wow. See, we live daily knowing that the unconditional and total acceptance is because of what Jesus did on the cross, what we refer to as the finished work of the cross. But it's all because of the Lord. This love, which is freely given, can never be lost. It's forever. And it's wonderful. I tell the story often of my old friend. I'll leave his name. I'm going to get describing that. You'll be wanting to go home. He came into my office, and he announced that he was renouncing. He told me, I'm renouncing my faith. He said, I no longer want to be called a Christian. I don't want to be called anything like that. Now from this point forward, I am not a Christian, and I never want to be a Christian. And I thought we were Christians. We were just, oh my goodness, no, you might. No, and then he walked out. I didn't see him for 4 years. And we're walking down this alley, and I came across him. He was coming the other way. It was really, I remember it distinctly. And I said, well, it's good to see you. I said, what are you up to? He said, oh, I was interested in a passage in Luke. I thought, he said, it was rather interesting. And I'm exploring. I said, aren't you the non-Christian? Aren't you the guy that's not doesn't want to walk with Jesus anymore? He said, well, you know, it seems that it's hard. He's hard to get rid of. Yeah, he's indeed. That even when you're going that way, and you should be going that way, he blocks your way. He makes it very difficult. Does he not? Makes it very difficult to remain aloof from him. He just is that type of God, that he cares about us. And of course, this friend of mine, he serves the Lord now, but I don't know what he would think of that trip into the woods he took. But it wasn't, the Lord, there was no punishment. Now I have to punish you and beat you because you disobeyed me. Even at that point when he says, God, I got to get back to you. I got to get back to you. And what happens? God just brings his arms around him and draws him in, and not another word is said about it. It's because of what God had done for him, again, 2,000 years ago. So then there's the cry of the heart. If this great love that will not let us go, the cry of the heart, John chapter 4, verse 13, verse 18, it's the woman at the well. What a story. I won't read all of it, but he says, you've got to bring your husband. He said, I don't have him. That's right. He says, you had him. You had four, and now you have five, and one of them's not your husband. That's quite a story, right? He's like, well, now the Lord is going to be mad at him after all his lifestyle. And Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water which I give will be thirsty again, or will not be available to drink water today, at this moment. And the great forgiveness of it is unbelievable. That you're drinking water again, you're going to be thirsty, but you can come just as you are, just totally as you are. And I thought, you know, that's how, when we tell people that you need to come to the Lord, we don't need to beat them up. The Lord's already made a provision for them. I'm really, really convinced about that. And it's the cry. There's hearts crying all over. There's hearts crying in this part of the world. There's hearts crying in that part. There's all kinds of thirsty people who are at the cross, and they don't know what to do, but there's the cry of the heart. And Jesus just loves us despite how poorly, what poor choices we've made. But he comes to us, and it's wonderful. Starting all over again. I was saying in the first service, I could remember praying for this fellow who really got in trouble. All kinds of trouble. I can't even describe all of it. It was so weird and bizarre. But anyway, I had convinced him that he needed to make a list of people that he had. In this case, he had a lot of women in his life. And so I said, why don't you make a list? Don't make a list of any details. Just first names. Just make a little note. Then you know that you are asking for forgiveness and you're going to make things right. Anyway, so Carol, Betty, Kathy. He's going on and on and on. These are women that he slept with. And all these names. And I looked up and he looked up and he's kind of grinning at me, right? I said, did you have a job? Or was this your job? How in the world could you get involved with so many women? Well, he said it wasn't easy. But a lot of us were living like that. He said, what do you think of that? I said, I think that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for you. How's that for forgiveness? Even though you've done all that, I said, just turn. Just tell God you're guilty. Just, you know, just tell him, I'm finished. I can't even keep myself. I get in trouble like this. I said, yeah. Anything else you want? Well, I got to confess a couple other things. And I thought, what a God. What a great God. That would see us obviously misbehaving, getting in trouble. I could tell you 100 stories of just like that. And I thought, what's our response to that? We present Jesus as the one who will meet them where they are, take them beyond to where they need to be. But it's a wonderful cry. It's just the one that he hears. And there's nothing religious about it. It's simply you come. And if you've been there, I said, well, I've done this. I should never have done that. I was dishonest with that. Yeah, anything else? And by the time they're finished, they're crying and saying, is it okay? And it's, no, it's not okay. You have sinned against the Lord. But he's already finished that work for you. He's waiting for you to come. But you have to come empty-handed. You can't come with any other. Just come yourself and present yourself to the Lord as someone who messed up. And this great love of God comes to us despite how we've messed up. I mean, what kind of love is this? It's a love that brought him to the cross. It's a love that forever changes us. Forever changes us. Same love that we heard even here on the screen. Loved by God, number three. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Our sins are covered. The propitiation. I always never wanted to get that in the Bible study, that I would not be able to pronounce it right. But I get it. I get what it's about. And this great love for the Lord, he said, all your sins. You didn't love God. Not that we were saying, oh, I was so this, I was so that. No, you weren't. You were a scallywag. You were manipulative. You were controlling. You spent your life doing it. Sure you did. I did too. Everybody's the same. And the Lord, not that we've loved him, but that he loved us and gave his Son. And I can't stop talking about it. As I get older, I thought, maybe this stuff kind of fades a bit when you get a bit older and wiser. No, it just gets better and better. The more I understand of that type of love for us, that I didn't want him. You didn't want him. You wanted prestige, you wanted lots of things, but you didn't want that. And he comes to us, and he reaches out his heart to us, and we accept it. And we're forever, forever, and forever, and forever, and forever changed. And I tell you, this is the kind of the Lord that you never have to worry about witnessing to. It comes pretty easy. You'd have to be out of your mind to reject that proposal. When the Lord says, here you are with all you've done. Now just turn from it, just present it, confess it. But you don't have to do anything to change it. It's just God's changing. He's the changer. And I thought, that's true. That's very, very true. That we're loved by God, and he has done the work on the cross. And so when we witness and we share, we don't share what they have to do. It's say, come to Christ. Come today. Come as you are. Come as just as you are. I don't know how you're going to pay back that debt. I don't know how you're going to get do this or that. It's so messy. It's so complicated. Jesus, if he can save you, he can also clean you. But I tell you, I don't know how to get that. There's people have messed up so badly. It's just been a mess, a real mess. And what is our answer? Come to Jesus. Let him deal with that. And watch how beautiful it will be and how wonderful it will be. And it's just, so this is this life, this love of God that has consumed us. Not religion, not anything else, just the love of Jesus. And it gets precious. Rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Rooted and grounded in love. That's how it must be in my life, in your life, as we live this Christian life, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, now watch this carefully, being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know, and here it is, all of a sudden they launch this thing out at you, to know the love of Christ. That's when I don't know much, but I know this. I know that is true. And it's life-changing to really know it. One of the disappointing things, though, I have to confess to this. One of the disappointing things is that there are people, I remember one time saying, just thank the Lord for his love for you. And this person said, they were sitting up in the, somewhere up this way. And they said, I never felt the Lord. So Lord, I said, really? I don't think I have. I said, well, next time we have a worship service, just why don't you just talk to the Lord about that? And after the service, he says, no, I never felt that. I felt God's irritability. I felt God's disapproval. I felt God's disappointment. And it was, he said, that's how it felt. It's just not pleasant at all. I said, you know, you're not describing Jesus. You're describing your father. That's who you're describing. Describing your father. I said, you don't feel, I said, no. Do other people? I said, oh, yes, those who understand and have been apprehended by the love of Christ, we really know it. But then I got thinking, maybe there's lots of people, they just go by rote. I mean, they go through the motions. They never feel anything. You see, I'm trying to think of how it would be with my wife's here. Imagine if all we talked about was the casserole. At some point, I'd want to say, oh, by the way, you know, I love you. And the beauty of why we love being married is because, I love you more. No, I love you. I love you. And it gets kind of sickening after a while for the rest, but there's emotion in our relationship. We feel, can you imagine if you didn't feel it? Say, just, all right, sign the line here. You're getting married. No, married. There you are. Promise to hug her 3 times, do this, that. Can you imagine it? How awful it would be. Just no sharing of our hearts and lives, no things that make us laugh and cry and enjoy life together. It would be so bad. But that's what they were describing, relationship with Jesus. There's no feelings to it, just that you went through the motions and you'd have an experience. I'm suggesting that I think that there is a place for doctrine, of course, and there is teaching, and there's just an opportunity. It's not all feelings, that's what I'm trying to say. But there's a place for it because it just brings the whole Christian life alive when you sense emotion in your relationship with the Lord. I'm not saying seek emotions. I'm just saying be aware. Say, Lord, I don't feel you very often. I want to. You to touch me and to flood my heart and so that it's wonderful. So I say that's exactly what God wants. He wants a relationship. He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with me. And a relationship has parts to it that are so crucial. But this love of Jesus must grip your heart. It must grip my heart. So there is the rooting and grounding. I was saying in the first service, Carl touched my heart the other day, and he said, love you, brother. And I said, I love you too. Thank you. No, I embarrassed him this morning when I told it, but just another brother in Christ telling somebody that they cared about me, that they cared about me. You see, that's what we do with this stuff, right? We package it, and it needs to be very often so that we become grounded in the love of, rooted and grounded in Him, and it overflows. That we say to one another, "Hey, I love you." Don't have to wait for some magical moment. If you see somebody and you appreciate them, I mean, I know there's more than this to it, but it's sure wonderful. When you say, you know, I belong to a church, that the love of God is the major theme. Again, there's other things that need to be learned and taught, but this is the essence. This is the core of it all, that He first loved us, and He comes to us with love and to change us. It's powerful in every way. Walking in love, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, that simple childlikeness, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. This just keeps rolling on and on. A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walking in love. That's, again, the scriptural theme for us here is to receive it as just the most wonderful thing that can happen to you and enjoy it. And I worry that some people are enduring their religion, but they're not enjoying their religion. They go through the motions because that's what you do, right? That's what you do as a Christian. You go, you do the right thing, and here's the statement of faith, and here's what you believe, and here's the good things. And serve the Lord. But there's something missing. The thing that's missing is that he loves me, and he loves you. And he draws near to us. Preciousness of that. And we're to simply walk in love. That's what we're supposed to be about. And not that it's done perfectly, but it's done meaningfully. We walk as Christ loved us. Again, there's that theme again. Love of God, love of God, love of God, love of God. And I can look back, and I thought, you know, I was wondering if it was really good to know the Lord. And I kind of thought it would kind of taper off. It would kind of fade out a little bit, that it was good then, but now, yeah, not so much. But it's not that way at all, is it? What we enjoyed yesterday, just a simple yielding, I love you, Lord. You could bring tears to your heart right now. Just say, I love you. And what are you waiting for? He says, I love you more. Yes, thank you. And bang, there's that relationship kicking in and providing all kinds of encouragements that not hard to witness. It's not hard to witness when that reality is gripping our hearts and our lives. And there, of course, there's the love that delivers. The thing about the Psalms I really appreciate is all the dilemmas that the writer is getting into, all kinds of these things. And he says, and the Lord delivered him out of them all. And the Lord delivered him out of them all. Psalm 107, verse 8 says, let them thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Yeah, let him, yes, that's an important thing. And oh, love that will not let me go. So we let the Lord to thank him for his steadfast love. Psalm 107 for his steadfast love. Psalm 107:21, steadfast love. All this thing about the love of God. I don't know what your relationship is, but he wants a relationship with you. And we can enjoy it. And that's why singing. Why do we love to sing? Because we can't quite get over it, how much he cares about us. The joy of knowing Jesus. Wow. Psalm 89, verse 33, the steadfast love. I'm sure there's hundreds of verses like that that have to do with just walking in love. And it's precious. It's very precious. And as I talk here today, I know that there will be an opportunity. Even walking to the church, I said, Lord, I pray that your love will just blow us away today. Lord, just touch us and shake us and stir us and so that we will know. That we say, how was church? Church was great. What did you talk about? We talked about the love of God. We can't seem to shake ourselves from that. It's what he has for us. It's a relationship he has for us. And we must constantly guard. Is our focus getting away from this? Because it's the most important bedrock thing that can happen is that we're touched by him and loved by him. He loves you. And anybody here that said, I've never felt that, my heart just aches for that. No, it's supposed to be, though. Ask him about it. It should be the best thing in your life. Right? You thank the Lord for your family, but even before that, it's your love for Christ and his love for you. So it's not religion. It's not hard. Like it's not things that are difficult. As a matter of fact, it's very easy. Easy things to love the Lord who hung on a cross and shed his blood for us. But my fear is that you can go through a long ways and it's just you're doing the right thing, but there's not anything dynamic about it. I mean, where's the part where you go and say, Lord, thank you for touching me. Thank you for making your love so real. That's the reality of the Lord. And people would probably say, does he seem like, oh, yeah. And I don't think it's just my personality. This is possible to experience him, I think, all day, any day, every day, if you wanted to. Just kneel down on the floor beside him. Just begin to praise his name. And the presence and the anointing will come down, and you'll know, and you'll be wiping your eyes and say, "Wow, that was beautiful. It's that simple." That can happen every day of our lives. We just make ourselves available to him and say, "Lord, I love you. If there's anything in my life, just let me know that's displeasing to you. But I just want you to know, I'm going to bless you now for the next few moments. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And I can, as I begin to praise, you know, the glory comes down. And it can be kind of a harsh time, but when you begin to praise the Lord, that great love of God begins to descend, does it not? And all we usually tell say, just sustain it. Don't rush away so quickly. The Lord wants to breathe his life upon you and his love upon you. And as you praise him and as I praise him, I said, the glory comes down. I said, when? Every time. There'd be no exceptions if we would just be willing to yield ourselves to the Lord. Right? That's the thing, just to begin to praise the Lord. That's mandatory stuff to start the day. I bless you. I praise you. I thank you. I'm giving you glory and honor and praise and delight in my heart. Lord, you're the best thing. You're the best. You're the best. You're the best. What a God you are. What a mighty God you are. And I belong to you and you belong to me. You know, I could feel a sermon coming on here. It's just that that's how it is. Just begin to just press in. And that great love of the Lord will envelop you. And you'll go out of here and say, "That was a great meeting. We really had a good time. You know, we felt Jesus. Jesus came to our meeting. We felt his love. We felt his care. We felt everything. Did we? You know, isn't that all? So many, we describe meeting. I've been at meetings when Jesus, I think, had been booked off. The meeting was pretty cold. Must have been some problems in it. Because we can just bring the glory down by our obedience and in yielding. "Lord, I love you. I praise you." Pray in the Spirit. Right, and as you pray in the Spirit, again, the glory comes down. When all that, it's designed to happen all the time, I think. So it's always fresh and it's always real. And he doesn't want us to go through life where we're kind of dry and hard and difficult and not much. No, this when people come in, is that they should say, "Whoa, I feel the Lord Jesus Christ in this place." And should we be surprised? I don't think we should be surprised at all. He said, "Where two of you gather, I'm going to be there with you in your midst. I'll be there with my presence. I love you. You must experience me. You must experience me." Because that's what it's about, experiencing the Lord in a way that matters and to enjoy the fragrance and the tasting. You see, he's quite delicious and quite wonderful. And I remember many times I have felt dry and just felt, you know, it just seemed distant or something. I felt religious probably, and I didn't think that's what he wanted. So I said, "Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm just going to praise you steady for a few moments." And I was blessing his name and praising his name, and of course he shows up. And I said, I love you. And I felt him saying, "I love you. I love you." He said, "This is beautiful, Jesus. Anything you want to say to me today? Anything you want to, maybe there's something that's just not, you're not feeling good about. Anything, Jesus, just say it. Because I'm surrendered to you." And that's our attitude, right? We're surrounded by the Lord. And we have this opportunity, but it's dependent on wanting something. I said, "Lord, I want your presence. I want your glory." I can't, you know, if you have even church meetings, whoo boy, if that, you can go for a real heavy, dead thing. And it's not fun. You go home and say, "I was in a church." But when the Lord comes, and he, of course, in the Spirit, but he walks down the aisle. And he comes closer and closer and closer. And now, I thought this is what it was supposed to be. We go out of a meeting just pumped, not caught up in emotionalism, but caught up in the emotion of being in his presence. And knowing that in that presence there is the love of the Lord. His love is great, great love. It's wonderful. And it doesn't fail. The steadfast love of the Lord never fails. It's always ready to move into our hearts and our lives. And we say, Lord, don't let me go. Let this, Lord, I've said the other day, I was saying, Lord, I want this to work in my life, that people sense it. And then again, that's all that matters. They sense it, that the love of the Lord is real. And I'm going to close now, but it's, if your relationship with the Lord is kind of stale, you might want to just go for a tune-up and just see how what the purpose, that what's happening with that. Because it's not supposed to be that way. I'm not sure why it is for you, but it's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be tremendous. It's the Spirit coming upon us, the church in fire and all kinds of things that need to happen in a service. But if that doesn't, if it's just kind of, you're kind of feeling dead and the church is dead, yikes, that can't be good. Because I think his plan was that he would just blow us away. We just say, wow, what a great service that was. We felt the presence of God. And you take that with you, right? You go, the Spirit comes with us. And we go there and we carry on the day. And the day was a good day because we were blessing the Lord and living for him and walking in love and enjoying his love for us. And imagine being able to do that, to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, that you can do that all the time. Right? I believe that. You can, just as long as I'm willing to press in and say, Lord, here I am. I love you. I love your presence. I love that you know me and still love me. I'm so glad, God, that you weren't in a bad mood that day, because I love you and your experience and your touch upon my soul. Lord, do not let me go. And I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about him drawing you close, you close to him. And this, to live like this for today and tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day, that, oh man, could it be? Why not? Why couldn't it be that way? The joy of Jesus, the love of God. These are things, and again, because there's even more verses, but the love of God, 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 he's just strong on it, so that the Spirit would come upon us and we would be full of him and enjoying it. I know it's not that maybe every meeting would be fantastic, but most of them would be, because we just say, come on, folks, let's just lift our hands. Let's just bless the Lord. And we bless the Lord and we sense his presence descending. And that's, again, just the beginning of it, but I think that's where it starts. And I think, you know, by the way, my friend who abandoned the faith, interesting thing, four or five years later, he comes back and he's okay, like he's doing good. I couldn't believe it. And he said, once you taste of this, you can't go back. He said, I was angry. He said, mostly I was angry because I couldn't keep up with the others. What? He said, I just couldn't keep up. I tried. I just couldn't keep up to the rules. Couldn't keep up to the system. I just couldn't keep up. Try as I would. So he said, I thought, well, I'm not going to try at all. And just walked out. He's more honest than probably most of us. That was the only difference. And I thought, wow, for us, I don't want it to ever grow cold. And your job is to keep the fire burning of your heart, so that when we pray with you and we're something, you know, there's a deposit coming off your heart towards us. And, wow. Anyway, stand with me, please. My wife told me that I've been rambling too often in the sermon, so I'm going to show her. I'm going to show her that I can finish on time, which we can. but I'd love to pray with you. And I, you know, just when, as I close in prayer, you may want to gently lift your hand to the Lord. Say, Lord, let me sense, make me alive with the love of Jesus. And I'm closing my eyes so you can just feel free just to be in his presence. Lord, thank you that when we were really lost, you came to us. We're so thankful for that. How blessed are we? And thank you, Lord, for the millions of times where we were praising you and your presence just came and enveloped us. And I would pray for my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, stir them, fill them, direct them. Lord, anoint them. Oh, I pray, God, that they are not going to ever come to the end of it, but they'll always be fresh in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to stay fresh, want to stay real, want this thing to work in our hearts and beyond. So, Lord, here we are. We yield ourselves, our mind, our will, our emotions, and we thank you. And Lord, for the person who's kind of burned out, I pray just that there be a quickening, that there be some freshness stuff coming into their heart and their life. And we'll give you thanks and praise. Bless each person. Lord, give us a great week. And we'll thank you and praise you. We love you. Lord, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. Thank you. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, amen. Amen.